Hey everyone, welcome back to Of Course Tattoos and Rosé, Thirsty Thursday edition, where we go through and discuss whatever we want with Madison and me, Blake. Sorry if you heard that. Oliver is in the room with me and he just decided to shake it off. You got this, boo. Get under the covers. Okay. Anyways, you've just got me. Two reasons. One, Madison is, dying of the plague. Won't go to a doctor. You know it's bad if I'm the one telling her to go to a doctor. So if y'all could just, like, message her, at BreathlessLitPA and just be like, hey, man, go to the doctor. That'd be much appreciated because the poor thing sounds awful. She needs to go to a doctor. And also because she has not read Flame and Shadow yet. So now you're probably like, oh, why does that matter? Well, funny you should ask. Today's episode is another, I'll qualify this as a Blake's musing episode. Sure. Why not? I'm musing, you know. Musing? I know musings. Musing? I don't know if that's actually, you know, never mind. Anyways. Okay. So, this is going to be a, I'm calling it like my initial reaction video for, oh my God. Okay. Initial reactions for House of Flame and Shadow. Now, this will have spoilers. So if you haven't finished yet, come back. Don't worry. I'll be here. The episode will be here. Don't worry. But I kind of want to do like an overarching and just like explain some things I loved, i.e. the whole book, and a few things I didn't, and then kind of get into what I've seen so far just of kind of common things that I'm seeing people in their reviews and reactions and things like that. And then I want to touch on the Today Show interview that SJM did as far as future books goes. That's kind of the extent of what I want to talk about with that interview. And yes, it did crush my soul, in case you're wondering. Spoiler alert for the later in the episode. So, with that in mind, if you have not finished House of Flame and Shadow, again, just come back. It's okay. No worries. Okay? 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Should have prefaced that was the countdown to spoilers. Anyways, so you guys are probably like, wow, Blake sounds a bit more spastic and out of pocket than normal. That is because Blake is still adjusting because Blake, why am I speaking in the third person? I hate when people do that. Okay, sorry, I'm done with that, I'm sorry. As you guys know, I did it with House of Sky and Breath, Silver Flames, like every big release, specifically SJM ones. I am that person that as soon as it hit like 1201, I'm sitting there trying to like get the Kindle version up, right? So here's just a little, just before I get into it, here's how my Monday night, Tuesday, early morning went. Previously with Sky and Breath and Silver Flames, when I pre-ordered the Kindle, it messed up and it was both of them. Didn't work. And like, it wasn't until like 1220 that it showed up on my Kindle. So this time I was like, I'm not going to pre-order it. It'll just, you know, I'll refresh my Kindle and everything by like 1202, right? Should be easy peasy. It was not easy peasy. By 1210, some people had it that I was talking to, others don't. A lot of people I, like, was in a group chat with didn't get it to like 1215, 1220, which in and of itself, like, get it together, man. Anyways, by like 1210, I was like, you know what? It's still allowing me to pre-order at the pre-order price, i.e. like $9. So I was like, you know what? It's obviously already messed up. I'm just going to pre-order it. So I pre-ordered it, saved some money, fantastic, especially considering, you know, I've already got one physical copy, another one on the way, and then obviously, you know me, I'm going to get the Fairy Loot when it comes out. Anyways, saving some money. I'm going to buy the audiobook, by the way. Like, you know, save money when you can. When I tell you, everybody in my group chats, and I was across like 3 different ones, was able to download it, and I was literally sitting there like, are you kidding me? Because, fun fact, my Kindle just froze. Like, it just, like, stopped. It is the Kindle Signature Paperwhite. It's less than 2 years old. Like, I don't know, man. I think I'm cursed with Kindles. So I'm sitting there on my phone, my iPad, trying to, like, you know, update, like, get them to sync. Nothing's shown up. It did not show up for me until 12:36 p.m. Or p.m. What? Jesus, Blake. A.m. So I was like, oh, my, I'm not even kidding. And look, you guys know I've had a rough... January was a bitch, okay? It's February 1st. Now we're putting January, like, that energy needs to go away. It needs to go away. It was a really rough, rough month. And, like, a bit emotional, excitement for this, and, you know, being a woman, lovely time. I was, like, crying, no joke. Like, I can laugh about it now. At, like, 12:35, I was, like, crying, but I was, like, also texting my friends. I was, like, have fun reading. Like, I'm trying to be, like, it's okay, guys. Don't worry about me. It'll come. Have fun reading. And I was, like, oh, this is horrible. The only one really, like, Mads was the one that was, like, this is the last thing. I'm cursed. I don't know what I did. I pissed off some ancient entity. Like, I don't know what's happening. And, like, Mads was like, it's okay, it'll be there, it's coming, it's okay, just take a breath, I know how excited you are, it's okay, and I was like, oh, anyways, so it came out like 12:36, so fantastic, started reading, y'all, I didn't put the book down, I say book, but it was actually, I read it all on my iPad, by the way, my big giant iPad, because my Kindle literally never updated, I don't know what's going on with my Kindle, read until about like 4:45. I was putting the iPad down. I was reading in our my reading room has like a trundle bed that's like a guest room. I think I've talked about it before. And so like when I'm up late doing stuff, and especially because Ian again is a teacher, so his alarm went off at 4:45, his second one, by the way. He slept through his first one. Tisk tisk. I was in the other room. I put the iPad down to finally go to sleep when I heard his 4:45 alarm go off. And then I was up by, like, 8:45, and I fed the dogs, had some breakfast, had some coffee. I read until about noon, had to do some work, and then so the rest of the evening it was, like, work, read. Finished by, like, 6 p.m., so about, like, less than 20 hours, I finished it. I inhaled it. I did, because I was on my iPad, I was able to highlight with the Apple Pencil. You guys know how I feel about highlighting in Kindle. It's just not for me. But highlighting with the Apple Pencil, 10 for 10 recommend. So I have a bunch of stuff highlighted. As I went, I started keeping a running list of, like, oh shit moments to me. And then also, like, in book theories. Not, like, the theories that we discussed before it came out, but, like, in book, like, as I read something, I would type, like, oh, is this gonna do this? Or, oh, is this this? And I started a fun trend, which I'll talk about more on Sunday, because Sunday, I'm going to have the same group back from last week with our predictions to kind of do a deep dive, because this is just kind of like, you know, my initial thoughts and things like that. And I'll go through it more on Sunday for that. But, and then I started keeping track of like what I was right with. Just a little spoiler for Sunday, I was like creeping some of like, I know I creeped Jules out a little bit, because she was like, like, you were getting so much. And then a couple of my other friends that have been reading it were also like, how? And I was like, I don't know. So, that was fun. But, so, with that in mind, here we go. How many stars? 5 stars. 5 stars. 5 stars, hands down. 5 stars. Loved the book. Absolutely adored this book. And I adored it. And I'm going to There's a but, but don't worry, okay? So, the main thing is when I finished, within the, like, hour or two after I finished, I had this sense of a little bit of underwhelmment. Now, you're probably like, you just said you gave it 5 stars. You just said you loved it. Yes, still do. Honestly, the more time that passes, the more I think about it, the more I loved it even more, right? And I figured it out. And I know I'm not alone. A couple other people have also said the same thing. And again, I think it came down to the mindset that I went into this book. So I did not, I know the Today Show, like, explained, and I'll get into it later, about Crescent City 4 and, like, being a long way away and kind of branching out. I did not, mind you, like, by 4:45 in the morning, i.e. before that hit, I was well into the book. And then I didn't look at any of that. I wasn't on social media at all or anything until, like, I finished the book. Because I didn't want anything to influence me. Lo and behold, that might have, like, kind of influenced me, but in a good way. Because from my end, like, I went into it, and again, I could have just misunderstood. I don't know. I went into this thinking that there would be four Crescent City. Like, I know that this one was going to be kind of like the last time it's super, super focused on Bryce and Hunt. But I thought that just meant that the fourth book, i.e. House of Many Waters, if you're going to follow the title, because there's four houses, which also I'm like, oh, it better do that because it'll just bother me just from like the even point. Anyways, I went into this thinking this book would be, you know, we've got the crossover, which I will also touch on. We've got, and I loved, by the way, so don't worry about that. We've got the crossover, we're finding out, we're making connections, we're figuring out an actual game plan against the Asteri. And then I genuinely went into this book thinking that the fourth Crescent City would be the big, bad, ultimate battle, right? I did not go into it thinking we would defeat the Asteri, let alone that it would be, like, a quote-unquote end for Bryce and Hunt's story. You know, like, the major plot, like, the major overarching plot of the, from the get-go would be wrapped up. I genuinely didn't go into it with that mindset. And again, probably on me. I know other people felt the same way, but maybe we all just had the misunderstanding. Because, like, prior interviews, the number of books on contract, that was what my understanding was. But that's okay. I have accepted that, and I can recognize that my feelings after I finished the book within those last, like, those first couple hours, that's why. Because I felt like, wait, wasn't this kind of rushed then? Why wouldn't it have been in book four? Like, I'm not ready to say goodbye. And that's even knowing that Crescent City 4 is still going to have all these characters. We're still in the world that we, if you're like me, that you have just come to know and love, and I don't want to get too much, because I will, there's so many things about this book that I, like, one, I sobbed a lot during this book, but two, so many things in, like, this series in particular, the characters and how you feel while you read these books, I'm not ready to let that go. So, that is why, when I say 5 stars loved it, I will always still kind of have that, like, back end feeling of, like, but a little, the last, like, 15% or so, I'm just like, I wish we would have just expanded it to, the like, another book. But again, that's not necessarily a critique. That is literally me just being like, I don't want to say goodbye and just give me more. Like, literally just keep giving me Crescent City. That's all I need, right? So, now with that in mind, I have not started a reread yet. I have not. That does not mean I have stopped talking about this book. I've literally been talking about this book nonstop with multiple different groups, multiple different people. I've been messaging on Instagram, FaceTiming people, voice memos left and right. Still spiraling. One, about what happened in the book. Two, about, as we all know, there are a lot of different things left open because she does plan on continuing. So there's a lot of different plot points open. The more you think about it, there's more plot points that you think about that, like, oh shit, that didn't come into play. Is that going to come into play? Or, oh, what do we think is going to happen there? And some of those tie into our ACOTAR characters, right? So the next, like, big thing about this book was the crossover. Now, did I want to see more of Oliver Inner Circle? Yes, of course. But, like, it's a Crescent City book. So I understand, like, you probably limited. It was pretty well known, I think, especially, like, from a couple episodes. Myself, Caitlin, Madison, like, none of us wanted the crossover to be, like, a huge, huge part of the book. Or, like, we weren't looking for a Crescent City book that's actually, like, Crescent City / ACOTAR, even / Throne of Glass. We just wanted, you know, it's fun to see them. And I think that's an important thing to keep in mind. For reasons I'll touch on a little bit later, too, just with what's going on already with, like, reviews and things like that. But, I really enjoyed the crossover. One, obviously, you're like, well, duh, Blake, it's Nesta. And I'm like, yes, of course, exactly. Also, pause. I would like you guys to know that the first true, like, raging, unhinged voice memo I sent while I was reading this book was to Mads. In which I said, and I, paraphrasing, fuck you. Fuck you so much. How dare you call me delusional 4 years. Nesta has her full powers. Bitch. And that was it. I might have said I love you at the end, because I usually do, but I just can't remember. It was early in the morning, okay? And I was just hyped beyond belief. So, one, Nesta, all her powers. Okay, I say all, but, like, it's probably, like, still missing a little bit, because she did give a little bit, but I have said for years, I have never felt so vindicated, guys. I had said for years, we were all overreacting. I was like, nah, I don't care if I'm DeWoo-woo, she has her powers, I'm not, that's my hill. Lo and behold, she does. Lo and behold, she does. Whoop, whoop. Oh, yeah. Not only that, she's, like, got a full grip on them. And it's only been, I think it was, 7 months since Akasif? And my girl's been working, okay? Working. And then her dynamic with Az, especially in the bonus chapter, amazing. We got to see more of Az. He really did come out of his shell. I think it was also good because it, like, you know, the bonus chapters for Akasif didn't cast him or Reese. Well, the whole book didn't cast Reese in a good light. But anyways, we've talked about that. Anyways, it was a good way to remind readers, like, hey, he's still Az. He's still who you guys are all, you know, obscenely obsessed with. I really enjoyed that. The dynamic, I mean, I know a lot of people are like, oh, I'm frustrated with Bryce, how she was, like, they, like, it was just frustrating how she was treated them and everything. You gotta remember, we know them. We know Nesta, we know Bryce, we know Az. They do not know each other. They are from two different worlds. They have two very different goals of that encounter that we get to see. So, I can understand, but you've got to keep that in mind, too, because there were times, too, where, well, one, I was giggling when she tried to lie to Reese. I was like, oh, even if he's not, like, getting into her head. But we also got more about how Az can literally tell if you're telling the truth or not, especially if he's holding Truth Teller the dagger. Like, he literally could just, even without knowing the language, if you reread, like, he literally knows if she's lying or not, which I always am like, ooh, that's cool. Anyways, I can understand it was. There were times where I was like, Bryce, just fucking be nice. These people are cool. Or I'd be like, Nesta, Az, get it together. She's so cool. Be friends. But I get it. I completely get it. I loved, as soon as the first part of the crossover was over, I was like, oh, man. I loved it. I kind of want more just because it's so cool, not because I'm like, I need Akatar characters in Crescent City. So, you know, later when they came into play again, granted that, I was like, oh, Ember's gonna beat your ass, bros. That whole, beautiful, amazing, loved it. Loved the idea of the mass playing in, how the Trove was, like, tied to the Starlight because of the Maid, and, like, how it all came together. Just beautiful. Beautiful. Now, all of that is probably, like, you're already, like, that's so much. Like, you get so many info dumps. And I'm saying info dumps in not a negative way. Like, right? Like, we needed, like, there's a lot of, there's a lot of information coming out, and it's been building this for the whole, honestly, not just this series, but from Silver Flames and everything like that. Like, it's been building. So, I think this one especially, and I know we've all said this before about Maddie especially, House of Earth and Blood, I would say, is romanticy. And when I say romanticy, I truly am, like, romance and fantasy, not necessarily the smut, although we all would love the smut, more and more smut. I understand completely, 100%. Me too. House of Earth and Blood very much had the driving romance with the fantasy and, like, basically like a murder mystery. House of Sky and Breath, very heavy with, like, romance. You had multiple different romances, sorry. And you had a lot of the fantasy plot and just kind of a lot of what the fucks, right? Throughout the book, if you're like, what? Oh my god, what? Like, reveals. So you had, like, a strong romanticy, I'd say stronger romanticy, and then this book very much put plot over romance. I do not mind that. I do not mind that because I still feel like we got a decent amount of romance. I would have liked more. One, because Rune and Lydia, perfection. Two, Bryce and Hunt, I love them so much. And I appreciate the growth that we saw and that they're so real. Like, they are portrayed so real and, like, the bickering, the having their own individual obstacles and fears to overcome and looking towards each other for that and how that can cause some friction. That's so real. You know what I mean? And you can, like, relate to that to a certain degree. So that's okay. But this book, and I understand a lot of people, this is not what they wanted. And especially as an SJM reader, because Throne of Glass, I would say, is more plot over romance, for sure. But ACOTAR is not. ACOTAR is straight up romantasy. I would say this third book was definitely more plot heavy over romance. She definitely prioritized the plot. And part of that is necessity for, like, what this was meant to do. And I will say this one, and not only was it plot, like, steered away from romanticy for that reason, and again, I'm not mad about that, that I'm just kind of going through it. This one was very, very much high fantasy, and honestly a smidge of, like, sci-fi. Both of those are up my alley, so for me, okay, cool. I know quite a few people, and they're, it doesn't mean they hated the book, they're just like, hey, this is, like, my one that I'm like, like, I wish it had more romance. Or, all of us, like I said, I'm pretty sure most of us were like, I'd take more smut. Of course, we love these characters, they're hot, they're juicy, we love them, they're delicious. Of course, give us the more smut. But more romance, again, I won't say no to it, but I'm not against more of the plot, but I can see why a lot of people would have that issue. Another thing I really, really liked, and I kind of mentioned, is the character growth. I'm also, though, part of that was because we had so many characters with multiple different kind of subplots going on. I am an absolute slut for multiple points of view. Absolute slut for it. Even I can say, and this is more a formatting thing, because again, I had to read it on my iPad, and most people read it. If you were reading, like, right when it dropped on, like, a Kindle, Nook, whatever. I don't know about the Nook version. I'm curious. For the love of God, I don't mind the mid-chapter point of view shifts, like, multiple times or anything like that, but the Kindle formatting was atrocious to indicate those shifts, because there really weren't indicators at, like, it was bad. It was bad. And I'm curious, I only have one physical copy right now. I have the digitally signed BAM that came in finally. Long story there, it was supposed to come, like, Saturday, but whatever. I haven't looked through it, and I need to, like, flip through it. I'm just curious, because, like, and I know I'm not, that one I know, I've had multiple people message me. That was annoying, that was, but the multiple POVs, oh my God, I loved it. Oh my God, and I know some people don't, I know it's not always for everyone, but I loved it. And part of the reason I loved it, and it ties to the character growth, is you guys know, man, by the end of House of Sky and Breath, I was like, Therian, what are we doing? I still, for a lot of this book, was like, come on, bud, come on. But I do like how his story progressed and grew. I don't know if I want him to stay with his wife, but I think I think what she did to him at the end, not only is it karma, it's not the same, I understand. I truly understand that. But I think what she did was necessary for him to have his full self-realization. Oliver, you gotta quit shaking. Guys, this dog is dry as a bone and he keeps shaking. What are you doing? Oh, you were shaking off the blanket. Okay, anyways, sorry guys. So that's one thing. And then Ethan, whew, that whole thing. I'll get into more of that Sunday. But the runes growth, we got more of Flynn and Declan. Lydia, I can't even begin to describe how much I love Lydia. Wow. I wish I could put it into words better. Hopefully I can by Sunday. But, like, just Lydia. That's the sentence, Lydia. That's the sentence. That's the moment. That's it, man. But I genuinely felt like we got a lot of character growth, and I think part of that was because we got so many points of views. And that's, for today, that's what I'll say. I will say, one thing. And others, in my little SJM Spiral chats, Jules, Danielle, and Elijah especially, they've backed me up here. I fear I may be cursed, and as you guys know, we have it, I mean, on the record, literally in prior episodes, I've literally said, for Crescent City, Jezebah is my Surreal. You guys know how I feel about Surrey. You guys know the love, the tears I shed no matter how many times I reread Akawar. I will never not cry. I would always said Jezebah is, like, top tier, right below Surreal, surpasses Surreal for, like, if I'm just looking at Crescent City, obviously, it's, like, that's, like, I always have, like, the one, like, quote-unquote side character that I just, like, fixate on. And they're so cool to me, and everything about Jezebah in this book, beautiful. I loved it until my heart was shattered into a million little pieces. If you can't tell right now, I am tearing up just thinking about that entire fucking sequence. That was, I just, and she saw it coming. She had Ethan already packing because she, I fear I'm cursed, guys. So what I need from now on with any new series or even ongoing series, if you hear me in these episodes getting a little too, like, attached, I'm gonna need you to, like, send me a digital slap. Just, and be like, stop it. Stop it. You know what happens. Stop it. Because I can't do that again, guys. That was, that whole sequence. And then you tie it where she's giving Bryce the full truth of, like, hey, the second light was just the power, not the souls. The souls are still happy. And we find out that Bryce, when she saw what she saw at the end of House of Earth and Blood was real, where they were all on the waving and she just didn't see Danica. But then this time she got to see Danica and Lily. In the way the hug with Jezebah. Jezebah's whole with the books and protecting it, and she, oh my god. Yeah. That was just one of the times where I literally had to, like, put the book down and, like, give myself a second. Yeah. It was beautiful. Now, going from that to quite possibly my biggest quote-unquote gripe of this book. And it's one that I have quite often with SJM. Now, I know some people, like, another, like, other than the point of view or less romance, the other big one I've seen is people are like, some things were just a very, very convenient. They were. I'll agree. It's okay. She's done it before. It's kind of like the you don't remember it till you remember it with the trove. Like, but that's not just an SJM thing to me. Like, you see that across a lot of fantasy. Like, sometimes you gotta have a convenient little fix or, you know, a convenient little plot point that helps with a lot. That's fine. I'll accept that. What I'm not willing to accept, and you can bet your ass when I do my reread, maybe not my first reread, maybe my second, I'm going to keep a tally to track this because I read this sentence and I put my book down. This was another moment I put my book down, but it was not out of, like, emotion. Well, it was out of emotion, but it was anger and annoyance because I'm like, are you kidding me? Like, we're doing this again. Tell me how this entire book, where you go to multiple worlds, you've got people in dungeons, you go back to one part of the continent, go to the other continent, go to the Northern Rift, go to Avalon, have all kinds of things happen, be held prisoner a few days, well, prisoner in quotes, have a big, like, reveal via TV, and then the next day have a battle. How are you going to have Bryce, is there in the palace, the day of the last battle, at the end of the book, note to herself, she's not the same person who ran away from Regulus, sorry for the name, in that hall a week ago. You're telling me from the moment she went in through the portal to Perinthian to the final battle was a week? I'm sure we'll get into it more on Sunday, but you guys know, I even don't like the time period of House of Earth and Blood. And I think what my biggest thing is, why? Why do we, you didn't even need to include that sentence, Sarah. Let the reader decide how long it was, per se, until it is actually relevant. How much time passed really wasn't that relevant. It really wasn't. House of Earth and Blood, it was tied to the date of the summit. You could have had the summit actually be a couple months later. Like, not, you know, what was it? Like, a matter of weeks. Same with, you know, there's some... ACOTAR's not as bad because, like, it's vaguely, like, not, like, huge drivers for stuff. But still, like, oh, okay, that's a little... I always thought it was a little bit longer, but okay. Everybody knows Throne of Glass with the timeline that one's supposed to be is absolutely insane for all of those books. And again, it just comes down, I think, the heart of my annoyance is just why, right? Like, why? That, reading that sentence, we're at the final battle, shit is hitting the fan, we're in the thick of it. That one sentence literally took me, an obsessed reader, who is like, just, you know, I'm in my room, I've got my snacks around me, I've got multiple drinks around me, my dogs are around me, I haven't seen the sun in days, I haven't interacted with the outside world, I am in this book. And it was enough for me to literally, like, draw me out of it. And that's annoying. And I know you're probably like, girl, calm down. Fair, fair. I really hope it doesn't bother you as much as it bothered me, because I want you to have more enjoyment. I don't want you pulled from the book. But that, to me, was just a huge... moment. But again, I got through it, picked the book back up, and kept going. You know, I was kept going. I was like, I gotta know. That's just my biggest thing. That one is like, So... Again, 5 stars. Loved it. I'm going to love it even more with my rereads. I guarantee I am. Which is saying something, because, again, I loved it. This series, I don't think I can adequately put it into words what it means to me, how much I love it, the characters, everything about it. And again, I'm, like, tearing up again just thinking about, like, the fact that, like, the main, like, part of it as we know it is over. And yeah, that's, let that set in. And then, not to make it worse, but moving into SJM's interview, where we got some updates on next publishing, we don't get to return confirmed fully to this world for, guys, I'm gonna go ahead and say probably a good, I'm willing to bet 4 or 5 years. So if you didn't know, the Today Show interview, SJM did confirm ACOTAR 6 that's a thing. It's the next book. And we're getting it in 2025. Now, I'm very, very hopeful. Again, this could be Delulu. I don't know. I really think it'll probably release right around when, like, Silver Flames, Sky and Breath. Like, I think it'll be, like, February. I don't think we're looking... end of January. I think it'll be like February. With that in mind, that would mean that we're probably going to get title, release date, something. Again, assuming that's like the timeline, not like, you know, late 2025, which I will riot, but that ties into something I'm going to mention in a second. That would mean that we get like a title, a release date, probably within next, I don't know, 3 months or so. So, I mean, that's amazing. That's amazing. And I will say she was pretty, she didn't give any, like, specifics. She still hasn't confirmed whose book it is, anything like that. I will say, and again, we will talk about it more Sunday, my hot take is, I think we're all, I don't think it's nothing in this book to me set up for Elaine. It did set up for Az, which I think would be interesting, and kind of a switcheroo. The last, you know, bonus chapter for Silver Flames was, like, the three sisters, why can't I have the third if you and Cass already have the other two? It would be a cool switch to turn that on its head and be like, hey, you guys all thought three sisters, we get Elaine's story next. Just kidding. One, I don't think Nesta's story is over. She has the freaking Star Sword now, so fucking cool. But we know the Star Sword is tied to none other than Truth Teller, who's back with Az. Oh my god, his little, like, sad face when she took the dagger. Oh, so sad. So my hot take is, I think this book really is going to be Nesta and Az, not together. Not together, although I would still like to see that dream she had about Nesta and Az and Cass, but whatever. And that's nothing against Elaine. I've said it before. I'm pumped to see what she does with Elaine. It's just, I don't think that's going to be the driver for this next one. I really don't. That doesn't mean that Elaine's not going to be, like, a big part of it, but that's just my hot take. Another mini hot take, I think Reese was a bit sus with Bryce and her information and how he was like, yeah, as Nesta, go ahead, like, do all this. I personally think that Celine's ancestors passed along her story by mouth until they stopped. As we know, it got lost. They just stopped doing it. Supposedly they did. I think what happened is one of them, in Celine fashion, was kind of just like, it's better to just ignore this, but still knew it was better to have an account of it and wrote it down, say in a journal or something that, I don't know, went to the library that the High Lord of the Night Court is in charge of. Maybe a restricted section or something like that. I think maybe Reese might have read that. That account might not have been 100% the truth, and or they didn't understand, because they didn't, even with Celine's full description, if you don't know the other half of it and like what we know from Midgard, it would be confusing. Either way, I think there's a reason that Reese wasn't surprised when Eowyn fell through and he slowed her down. He has worked with Meryl. He has the orrery, all of that. That's my hot take. I think we will learn more about what Reese actually knew and not. I personally think that ACOTAR 6 will be after Flame and Shadow, so it'll be after their encounter with Bryce. We do know there is that, 7-month period, so it could be within that 7-month period. I don't think so. But that's just me. Maybe not. I don't know. We know that the next book after that is not Crescent City 4. Crescent City 4, in her words, is, it's like an airplane taxiing on the runway. She knows who she wants it to really focus on. She's got ideas for what she wants to happen, but it's in line. So that also doesn't confirm that she confirmed ACOTAR 6 and then another book. The way she talked about Crescent City 4 doesn't even confirm that it's her third book on the roster. That's why I'm saying, we could be in for a long, long wait. The next book is, all she would say is that it is something she's been really, really having in the back of her head for a while now. She won't confirm who's in it, the world will be in, anything like that, but that it's very emotional for her to write these characters and be in this world. So everything she's saying, especially with the open platforms from Flame and Shadow, and that we didn't get, appearances, which, again, I'm okay with, makes me think that this could be a Throne of Glass heavy, or Throne of Glass-centric, or just a straight-up Throne of Glass continuation, maybe a spinoff somehow, in that world with some of the other characters. It just seems really, the words she used really make me think Throne of Glass. My crackpot theory there is, what if she's really attached, because I genuinely think she made a really big effort with some in Sky and Breath, but mainly in House of Flame and Shadow, to humanize and really get us attached. I say humanize as in, to get us attached to the Princes of Hell. And we know that there was the offhand thing about the other brothers were off fighting the Asteri in multiple different worlds on multiple different fronts. They're good guys. Maybe we get a series that is the Princes of Hell. I'm throwing it out there. I don't know why that would make her, super, super emotional. Fair enough. I get emotional about my darling of darkness, Bryaxis. I was hoping maybe he, hey, Bryaxis, but that's okay. Maybe we'll see the darling in ACOTAR 6. That's okay. But that's just kind of my out there left field, where I'm like, that would be kind of cool. Now, those are just my thoughts on the next couple, the future with the SJM world. I wanted to talk about, speaking of which, the long waits for these books. And I know I'll keep doing it because I'm addicted to these books, all of her writing, but it does kill me, these long waits. I don't know how much of it is her versus Bloomsbury. I know there were reports House of Flame and Shadow was already done at the printers in October. Why are we holding it till I know that was a big thing. And not confirmed either. It's just multiple people and things were saying that. But anyways, these waits are getting longer and longer. Now, obviously, some of them, she's had two children, right? Life happens, of course, the kids. But to that end, I do worry that the years between releases, one, it just kills it for some people. some people just are like, oh gosh, because then you've got, you know, you've got to completely refresh. You've got to, like, I personally love rereads, but a lot of people, like, I understand, like, time is limited. There's so many good authors and series in our world right now, so it's kind of like you get caught up with others, which can help the time, like, pass the time, but still, like, by the time you come back, you're like, oh gosh, it's been so long. I've, like, you may lose the connection. But on the flip side of that, and I think that's part of where I'm seeing a lot of negative about, I'm not seeing a lot of negativity about Flame of Shadow, but the negativity I'm seeing, I think, could tie into this, is that, like, this book, 2 years. When you have that long, especially in a fandom like this, where we love to spiral and theorize and everything like that, the hype is going to hit an unreal level. That hype, people are going to dig in on theories to where they're like, this isn't a theory. It's going to happen. It's, if it doesn't happen, like, I know I say, like, if this doesn't happen, I'm going to die. I'm going to be so upset. But, like, not really with theories, because they're theories. But I can understand. I can understand how that happens to people, where you're so invested, whether it's in a theory or a ship, you know, maybe there's characters that you're like, oh no, I think it's here. I think it's here. Or just the hype in general, especially when you end Sky and Breath with, hello, Bryce Quinlan, my name is Reese Ann. Like, I don't know if I'll ever hit the tone and the note that my voice hit when I read that and just was like, ah, so you can barely hear it because it's such a high register. Like, I can't do it. But that's all that's to say is, like, I think the hype train can derail enjoyment. And I'm guilty of it. I'm not coming at people. I'm guilty of it too. So I think that is something to, like, keep in mind. But I think what else that kind of feeds into, and I'm very sad because I just returned to social media yesterday morning because I Monday, like, I say return, but, like, it was like 36 hours. But either way, I missed you guys. It can get a little, and we've talked about this before, passion, the love of all of these worlds, these characters, it can lead to some unfortunate side effects of, like, toxicity. And I think the years between books and the hype and just everything like that leads to some pretty, how do I want to say this? Like, harsh reactions, or, not reactions, harsh, feelings that people will express, where, like, this episode's a perfect example. I love this book. It is 5 stars for me. I love this series with my whole heart. But I've still been able to, like, recognize constructive criticisms. And even some of them that I personally don't see, but I wanted to touch on because I know other people do. And there's some that I've said that, like, the timeline thing, people, like I said, are probably like, girl, calm down. That's okay. Honestly, I think that makes this all better. It makes it more interesting. It would be really boring if we all agreed on everything, right? But because people get so set in their ways on it, again, because of the long period and the hype between books, on their theories or their expectations and who they want with who and things like that, that there is the chance inevitably, like I've said, that there you won't meet that hype. That's fine. But then that turns into frustrations or anger that are unleashed on each other at times. And we don't need that. Guys, this is so exciting. I said it before the book dropped. This is like when big releases like this happen, it is so cool to see the sense of community where we're all still catching up on sleep. We're all like, what is going on? We're all kind of in that little, you know, book slump now for a while. Like, we're all there, but we're in it together. And I know I've seen, you know, some people are like, if you didn't like Crescent City 3, you just wanted it to be like the next ACOTAR book. Maybe. Or just because people have some criticisms doesn't mean that's what they were doing. I think everybody knows when they bought House of Flame and Shadow, it's a Crescent City book, right? So we don't need to be doing that. We don't need to be overgeneralizing or judging people for their reviews. It's just, we don't. So keep that in mind. Long story short, just keep that in mind. As we all kind of collectively digest, process, and inevitably get back into a reread, right? Of course. And as maybe you listen to other, I know there's a bunch of, like, amazing podcasts out there that are doing the same thing I'm doing right now, and we'll do Sunday, like, digesting. Keep that in mind when you're listening, when you're commenting on that, when you're seeing people's reviews on TikTok, when you're seeing some really, really well thought out reviews that people put on Goodreads and things like that. And that ties into what we said before about reviews. Just like, you know, let's just be nice, guys. Let's keep that sense of community going because it is amazing. It's amazing and I love it. And not necessarily happy note, but I think a touching note is this one especially is a little bit more, meaningful to me in that this book came and the excitement that built into it came at a good time in my life that I needed the distraction. I needed something good to focus on. Like I said, January was shit. Did I have to wait an extra 36 minutes that made me cry? Sure, but that's okay. Well, we're laughing about it now. But, like, this is the type of thing where I will always, tied to this book, I will always be able to be like, this, like, helped me in my grief journey, right? This helped me, really, I look at it as the past couple days, I've had so much fun just experiencing it with friends, you know what I mean? Like, you can tie those types of memories to these books, and again, that is what makes it amazing when we have these huge releases. I'll remember the insane rambling voice memos I sent people, the ones I got in response, the collective of all of us in all caps, like, oh my fucking god, I know, this is amazing! Or, like, sending one of my friends, like, what page are you on? What page are you on? What page are you on? And her, like, every 10 minutes being like, girl, I will slap you, and I'm like, I'm sorry! You know, like, that sort of fun thing. All of this is to say, how have I talked for almost 50 minutes? Dear Lord. I don't have an off button, I don't think. Oh, well. That to say, like I said, loved it. Loved it. Some stuff, sure. Always is. That's okay. Am I good? Nope. I'm still not mentally there to say goodbye, like, and fully comprehend what's happened. I'm not there, but that's okay. I'll get there, or maybe not. Maybe I'll live in delusion. I don't know. We'll see. So with that in mind, we will have an episode Sunday. It's going to be more of a group discussion, what theories, predictions were right. We'll touch on some of the things I talked about in more detail. And just overall, kind of you'll get a broader, what is it called? Polling, right? Like, I say broader, but it's going to be like four or five people, whatever. Like, a broader poll of, like, a wider array of thoughts. So I'm very much looking forward to that. I hope you guys really liked this. Again, sorry I rambled or got emotional. Don't judge me. So with that, I hope you guys have a great rest of your week. Feel free to reach out as you finish. I'm always here to chat. And as always, XOXO, the cadre. Hi, me right now. Hee hee. Bye.